Part 6. Back to the Cretaceous. Chapter 17. Max and Joe found themselves standing at the foot of the volcano just outside the entrance of the cave.
Dardan will not be expecting us. We are here a year earlier than last time, and he's only been here for a few weeks. We should be able to surprise him.
How exactly are we going to do that?
We are going to use the technology here to contact my planet. As you already know, Dardan is an escaped prisoner. Come on, let's head in.
Together, they cautiously entered the volcano and headed towards the central cavern. Once again, the cavern appeared to be deserted. Dardan was nowhere to be seen.
Where do you think he is?
He'll be around here somewhere. Quick, let's get to work.
Max and Joe approached the console, which was livelier than Joe had ever seen it before, with lots of blinking lights.
It looks brand new,
exclaimed Joe.
It is,
replied Max as he started pressing buttons on the console.
And even now the Chicxulub impactor is enough to power the console.
Joe noticed a small green light flashing on the monitor.
What's that?
He asked. Before Max could answer, however, they heard a loud howl coming from behind them.
Oh! Maxalon?
Asked a surprised Dardan.
Hello, Dardan,
replied Max, turning to face the Wolfian.
It's good to see you.
Dardan stared at him in shock. He couldn't understand how Max had found him. He hadn't done anything to give away his position.
It looks like you've only just arrived here. This console is newly grown. Where's the escape pod you were in?
It was destroyed when I crashed here. Luckily, I had a small supply of Organatech seeds, as I imagine you did as well.
Yes, I did. I crashed much further into the future. I was found by my friend Joe here.
Hi,
said Joe, not knowing what else to say. Max looked angrily at Dardan.
You've done a lot of damage to this planet. We are here to stop you.
Dardan frowned in confusion.
I haven't done anything yet. Ah, so that means you must have come from my future.
Max nodded.
And now it's time to go home.
The green light on the monitor started getting brighter and brighter. Then, suddenly, a beam of light shot out from the monitor and shone directly onto Dardan. He was unable to move.
We'll leave him here for a while. In the meantime, we have a short errand to carry out.
By now, Joe was feeling very confused.
What's going on?
He thought. Max approached the console again and pressed some more buttons. Soon, there was a familiar shaking of the portal opening.
We need to go 9 months into the future. There are some people we need to rescue.
Robinsons,
thought Joe.
Of course.
They stepped into the portal and, once again, found themselves right outside the volcano. The portal was still open.
We are using the power from my planet. That's where the green ray of light has come from. This portal will stay open for as long as we need it to. It's only programmed for us and the Robinsons.
So nothing else will be able to come through it.
The two friends started walking, and, before long, they had made their way back to the Robinsons' treehouse. They approached the stilted house and shouted up to the Robinsons. Professor Robinson appeared moments later, looking down at the ground in shock.
There are two people here, and they seem to know who we are,
he said to his family. Patrick, Lily, and Mrs. Robinson quickly joined the professor.
Can we come up?
Shouted Max. Rather reluctantly, the professor lowered the ladder as he tried to reassure his family.
There are only two of them. It'll be fine.
Max and Joe climbed to the top of the ladder and entered the treehouse.
You're young again,
Joe said to a very confused professor.
Sorry, what?
Smiling, Joe explained how they'd come to rescue them before the meteor that causes the extinction of the dinosaurs hit Earth. The Robinsons were very confused, but extremely grateful. Especially when they realised they would finally be able to go home. For some reason, they trusted these two strangers. It was as if, on some level, they felt like they knew them. So, after a quick family meeting, the Robinsons packed their essentials and headed into the jungle. Before long, they were all back at the portal. They crossed through and returned to the central cavern, where Dardan was still trapped in the green light.
This will take you back to the exact time in the future that you left,
Max explained as he opened another portal.
It will be as if you never left.
He paused for a moment before addressing the professor directly.
Please don't mess around with time travel again.
It was an accident,
explained the professor.
But I'll be destroying all my inventions when we get back home.
Mrs. Robinson nodded emphatically.
We certainly will. And thank you both again, so much.
After saying their goodbyes, the Robinson family walked into the portal and disappeared.
Why didn't we rescue them from an earlier time? I mean, they didn't need to be stuck here for so long, did they?
We already knew that they were safe. I needed to make sure that they were here long enough to put the professor off attempting time travel again.
Before Joe could respond, the cave started to shake.
We need to destroy this console.
Joe looked at him in horror.
But then how do we get back to 2022?
We don't,
said Max as the console started to spark.
We are going somewhere else.
The green light that continued to cover Dardan had now started to illuminate the whole cave. Suddenly, Dardan disappeared. Joe looked around, panicked.
Max, what's happening?
There was no answer. Max had also disappeared. Joe looked down at his hand, and to his horror, it seemed to be disintegrating. He could see the cells in his body separating, and then, suddenly, he was no longer in the cave. He looked out at the landscape around him. He was surrounded by green mountains, and the sky was tinged with green. It was like seeing the northern lights, but they were everywhere.
Are you okay?
Joe turned around to see Max standing behind him.
What happened?
He asked, his gaze moving from Max to their strange yet beautiful surroundings. Dardan, who was still bathed in the strange green light, was standing nearby, a blank expression on his face.
The cave was destroyed. Earth is back to normal. There has never been an Order of Verissimus. We did it.
Where are we?
Home,
replied Max. Part 7. Proxima Centauri B. Chapter 18. The temperature on the planet was very similar to England in the spring, and the mountains looked just like the mountains Joe was used to. But other than that, it was all so surreal. Joe couldn't believe what he was seeing. This was the strangest experience of all the strange experiences he'd had recently.
How will I get back to Earth?
Don't worry. I'll get you home as soon as the authorities have collected Dardan. Which should be very soon.
Why didn't you send me home after the Robinsons are gone? I don't understand why I'm here.
It was too risky to open another portal when the gateway to this planet had been opened. The console was very unstable. I don't want you to get stranded in a strange time.
In the distance, Joe could hear a futuristic swishing noise. It seemed to be getting closer and closer. Dardan looked towards the approaching vehicle, smiled, and then started to howl.
Oh!
Why is he so happy?
Max looked up and saw the vehicle that was approaching.
Run! It's the Wolfians!
Who?
Max grabbed hold of Joe's hand, and together they ran into a nearby cave.
What's going on? I thought Dardan was being captured by the authorities.
Max shook his head.
He was. I'm not sure how his friends knew he was here.
Outside the cave, the Wolfian spaceship had now landed and released Dardan from the green light. Within seconds, he had escaped with the other Wolfians. Max and Joe left the cave just in time to see the Wolfian spaceship accelerate away.
Maxalon.
Max turned around to see one of his best friends.
Jaxalon, it's so good to see you. This is my friend Joe. He's from Earth.
Chexalon, along with a large group of Tamarans, approached Joe.
It's very nice to meet you,
said Chexalon.
Now let's get back to Tamaran.
Tamaran was beautiful. It was a partially submerged domed island city, floating in the middle of an enormous ocean. Joe and Max were travelling on a monorail system, which was giving Joe an amazing tour of the city.
The Wolfians can't enter the dome. They are terrified of water. They will not cross the ocean. But just in case, our army is guarding every entrance. You don't have to worry. This dome has kept us safe for centuries.
Why did Dardan want to take over Earth if he's scared of water? Earth is 71% water.
Yes, it is. But that means 29% is dry. And if it's enough for humans, it's enough for Dardan and the Wolfians as well.
The monorail stopped outside a large, modern-looking building made almost entirely of green crystals. Joe gawped at it in awe.
Let's go in.
Where are we now?
Asked Joe as they entered the strange structure. It looked like a type of laboratory, which made Joe nervous.
There's nothing to worry about. The lingua worm inside your ear will be ready to crawl out soon. We're just going to remove it and give you a gift.
A gift?
Yes. We are going to make a small adjustment to your brain.
What?
Don't worry. It will give you the permanent ability to understand and speak any language in the universe.
Joe considered this for a moment. He certainly liked the sound of it.
That will definitely help me pass French and Spanish. It doesn't involve a worm, does it?
No,
replied Max as he exited the main lab, leaving Joe alone. He could see Joe through a large window in the next room, a room that was filled with dashboards and buttons, and he could talk to Joe through a speaker attached to the wall.
No worms at all. We'll get started right away. Just sit in that chair over there.
Joe did as he was told, ready, but nervous for the procedure to start. Fortunately, the whole thing was quick and painless. The lab was illuminated with a very fast flashing green light, and before long, Joe found that he was fluent in every language in the universe.
This is going to be amazing,
Joe said excitably as Max returned to the lab and sat down.
We need to go to Wolfian and catch Dardan,
Max said, getting back to business.
If we don't, he'll make his way back to Earth. And this time, he might not go alone.
He shook his head.
Just think about how much damage he did on his own. Now imagine a whole platoon of Wolfian soldiers.
How are we going to catch him?
We can talk about that later. The first thing we need to find out is how the Wolfians knew that Dardan was being brought back to this planet. Come on, let's go. We've got a meeting to attend.
Max and Joe left the lab and headed for the Central Parliament building. They found their way to the presidential room and took their seats in the VIP section. The government had called an urgent meeting. Max explained to Joe that all the most important and powerful Tamarans were going to be in attendance. Joe found it extremely surreal to be sitting amongst all the VIPs of Tamaran. But rather than being scared or overwhelmed, he actually felt pretty excited. The room was incredibly noisy, with lots of excited and angry chatter taking place. Joe was trying his best to listen to what was being said when, suddenly, the chatter stopped and everyone turned to face the front of the room.
That's the president.
The man standing on the stage cut an imposing figure. He was at least 6 feet tall with a bushy black beard, and he was wearing a black robe and wig.
He looks like a judge,
thought Joe. Moments later, the president started to speak. He thanked everyone for attending this important meeting, and he expressed how extremely pleased he was to hear that Maxilon had returned safely. He also welcomed Joe to Tamaran and said that he would always be welcome here. Then the president's upbeat mood vanished, and suddenly everything became very somber indeed.
We have discovered that there is a traitor in the room,
he said, causing all the Tamarans in the crowd to gasp in shock. Everything went dark, and a green ray of light began moving around the room.
"What's going on?"
whispered Joe as the light moved directly in front of his face.
"The light reads brainwaves. It will shine directly onto the traitor."
The ray of light continued to spin around the room for at least a minute before it suddenly stopped.
"No!"
cried Max. The light was shining directly onto Jaxalon. The presidential guards quickly apprehended Jaxalon and took him to the front of the room.
"Explain yourself."
"You people are pathetic. Surely you don't think I did this alone, did you? The Wolfians have promised us riches beyond our wildest dreams when we go to Earth."
"Us?"
asked the president. Suddenly, the door of the room burst open and 30 armed Tamarans ran into the room. As the panic began to escalate, it became clear that there was much worse to come. From outside the room, a chilling sound echoed around the Tamaran streets. It was the sound of 100 howling Wolfians. The panic and confusion sweeping through the presidential room was overwhelming. It wasn't clear who was good or bad, and the terrifying sound of the approaching Wolfians was getting louder and louder.
"What do we do?"
asked a panic-stricken Joe. Max didn't know how to answer. He didn't have any ideas, and he wasn't even sure who they could trust anymore. Moments later, the Wolfians entered the room and ordered everyone, including the president, to gather in the centre of the room. The treacherous Tamarans stood at the perimeter to stop anyone leaving. They were pointing their guns at the prisoners, who were forced to face the stage as a now familiar face came into view.
"Welcome, friends and prisoners. It's very good of you all to join us here today. You are being very welcoming to us on our first visit to Tamaran."
Joe was frantically looking around the room to find a way to escape. He was getting well and truly fed up with Dardan. Dardan continued his speech.
"We need you to share your technology with us, as we are planning to leave this planet and go to Earth. You will help us get there. We are grateful to the Tamarans who have already made the right decision to join us. You will all be rewarded when we get to Earth."
Max was beginning to understand how Dardan and the Wolfians had managed to get to Tamaran. The traitors, including his friend Jaxalon, must have used a trekker. They hadn't needed to cross the water at all. Joe was pondering how they could get out of this and permanently defeat Dardan. And then he remembered what Max had said about the Wolfians and their fear of water. Glancing at the windows in the corners of the room, he realised something very interesting. This room was underwater.
"We demand that you provide us with your entire supply of Organa tech seeds so that we can grow your technology on Earth. I have already tested it there, and from what I hear from Maxilon, it worked amazingly well. It's a shame he had to mess things up, but never mind. We'll try again."
Joe had also noticed that one of the traitors had accidentally, and without noticing, dropped his gun on the floor.
"How sloppy,"
he thought as he headed in the direction of the misplaced weapon. Everyone in the room was so completely focused on Dardan that they failed to notice Joe carefully making his way over to the gun. He picked it up and very carefully examined it. By now, Max had noticed what Joe was doing. The gun had only one button on it.
"This looks straightforward,"
thought Joe, pointing the gun at one of the windows and pushing the button. Everyone in the room could now see what Joe was doing as a green ray of light shot out at the end of the gun and hit the window.
"Stop him!"
shouted Dardan. It was too late. The window started to crack before breaking completely and letting in gallons and gallons of water from outside. As the room started to fill with water, the Wolfians immediately began to panic. They all shouted, giving the Tamaran army, who were very competent swimmers, the opportunity to capture both the Wolfians and the traitors. Cho smiled as he watched the army do their job. Within a few seconds, the window had started to seal itself and the water was already being pumped out of the room.
It's a self-fixing window. Organa Tech. Well done. That was an excellent idea, Joe. You've saved Tamaran.
Joe's smile turned into an excited grin. Dardan had also been taken into custody, and once he was gone from the room, the president returned to the stage.
We owe our Earth friend our gratitude,
he announced.
His smart thinking has prevented a terrible tragedy. Joe, please join me on stage.
Go ahead,
Max said to his friend. Feeling excited, but also a little nervous at being the centre of attention, Joe made his way to the stage to rapturous applause. The president placed a green medal around his neck.
You will always be welcome on Tamaran. What can we do to thank you?
Joe thought about this for a few seconds.
I'd like to go home, please.
Of course,
said the president. Dardan, the Wolfians and the Tamaran traitors were tried and convicted the following morning, which was made easy as they all pleaded guilty. They were imprisoned in an underwater prison dome.
It's impossible to escape,
Max explained to Joe as they both stood at the entrance to the space sling.
Good,
said Joe. He'd had enough of Dardan for one lifetime. Or several of them.
This is the quickest and most efficient way to get you home,
Max explained, gesturing to the space sling.
It will send you back to the exact time, just after you entered my cave. You won't fall into the hole, so you won't enter the cave. Go straight home. Your future will be completely unwritten.
Will I remember all of this?
Asked Joe. The thought of forgetting it all seemed so unfair.
I have a feeling you'll remember,
said Max, smiling. Joe was starting to get upset.
I'm going to miss you,
he said quietly. Max nodded.
I'm going to miss you too, but I'm sure we'll see each other again.
After saying his final goodbye, Joe entered the space sling and strapped himself in. It looked like one of those rides at the fair that catapult people into the air. Joe felt terrified, but he was ready to get back to his normal life. This had been the weirdest, scariest, and most amazing few weeks of his life. But now he needed to go home. A countdown began.
Five, four, three, two, one.
The space sling shot into the air and Joe started to feel dizzy. He could see flashing lights right in front of him, which got faster and faster until it all went dark. Part 8. Home. Chapter 19. Sunday, the 9th of January, 2022. Joe opened his eyes.
Are you okay, young man?
Shouted a man in a high visibility jacket.
You almost got caught in an explosion. We had to destroy an unexploded bomb from World War II.
Yes, I'm fine,
said Joe as he got up, dusted himself off and ran home. Mrs. Jackson and Eve were drinking coffee in the living room when suddenly Joe burst through the front door.
Calm down,
exclaimed Mrs. Jackson.
What's the rush? What on earth are you wearing?
Joe ran over to his mum and gave her an enormous hug.
I love you so much,
he said. Mrs. Jackson hugged him back, surprised and overwhelmed by this unexpected display of emotion.
What's all this about?
I just love you.
What a lovely young man you are,
said Eve.
Patricia, you are a very lucky lady.
Joe pulled back from the hug, smiling at his mum, before leaving the living room and running upstairs. In his bedroom, he immediately logged onto his computer and much to his relief, was able to log onto the internet. He checked the location of the pyramids. They were in Egypt. He checked the location of Stonehenge. It was near Salisbury. He checked for the existence of birds. Thankfully, there were plenty of regular, normal birds and no pterodactyls.
Thank you, Max,
he thought as he looked at the medal he was still wearing around his neck. Next, Joe checked his social media accounts. They were back. He checked Mo's page. It was exactly how he remembered Mo's page looking before the time travel adventures began.
What about the Robinsons?
He thought. After a quick search, he found the pages for both Lily and Patrick and requested a friendship connection.
I can't wait to see them all again.
After his internet session, Joe lay down on the bed and called for Milo, who came scampering into the room.
I've missed you so much,
he said to the cat, before looking over at his window and out at the early evening sky.
I've been on the most amazing adventure.
Be here, bringing books to life. Vision without sight.
You have been listening to Out of Time by Mark Golding. Produced by Be Here. A full dramatised audio production.